Amen. Everybody good? All right. I'll read something to you real quick. The Jews in Susa, however, had assembled on the 13th and 14th, and then on the 15th they rested and made it a day of feasting and joy. That is why rural Jews, those living in villages, observe the 14th of the month of Adar as a day of joy and feasting, a day for giving presents to each other. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15 days of the month of Adar, as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them. You all familiar with the story? Remember this? Yeah. It's out of the book of Esther. And they recorded this day and they remembered it. And for me, tonight, as we talk about joy, I want you to know joy is deep. I mean, it is deep. When you look at all the times the Bible mentions joy, not every time, but almost every time. When it talks about joy, it's in relation to a difficult time. So Mordecai is writing this, as they celebrate Purim, that there was a promise that their sorrow would be turned to joy. I'm going to tell you something. And you can see this. This might be a little bit offensive, but I'll share it anyway. I mean, you can see it, in newlyweds. Can't you? Can't you always tell newlyweds when you see them? Because they're holding hands and get their arms around each other. When you get to a place, you just quit that. I'm kidding. But what you have early on in marriage, maybe there's a little joy there. But, for the most part, it's happiness. We're happy. We're happy to be together because you can't have joy until you've been through the hard times. And we live in a culture that is completely averse to hard times, to difficult things. We don't want to go through those things, okay? And I'm not saying we ever reach a point where we want to, but even an unwillingness to go through those things, right? You may have experienced it yourself. You may know somebody. I mean, how many times when marriage gets really hard do you see people just throw in the towel? And the worst thing I hate about that is you can't really know joy in marriage until you've been through some difficult times. And let me tell you why. This is going to sound incredibly unromantic. But anybody here that's been married long enough, you'll know this is true. Because joy requires just a complete dependence upon God. Right? Because any ounce of me that's depending on anything else, anybody else, including myself, you're not going to have joy in that area. It is hard. It is difficult. So when you go through the difficult times, right? Because when you first get married and you married that guy or that girl, there were things you loved about them, right? You remember? And they become the things that you want to kill them over, right? Somebody will come up to my wife and say, Pastor Jamie, he's so funny. And she's like, woo. She's heard all the jokes, right? Elizabeth, you've heard them all, right? You've heard all the jokes, Stevie. And it's just, my wife's like, come and live with us for a month. And then see how you, because you know what happens? All this dependency that is possibly there in the beginning slowly becomes a dependency in God, right? And all the anxiety you have over your spouse and the changes they need to make. I mean, you reach that point where you're like, those changes are never going to happen. And your trust in God begins to grow. My wife had this argument. She wanted me to do something. I didn't. Not only did I not want to do it, I just told her, I said, read my lips. I ain't doing it. And I never will. As the words came out of my mouth, I knew I was wrong. Okay? because what she wanted me to do, I should have done. I should have had a desire to do, but I didn't. And it was a miserable day, right? I mean, I wasn't with her the whole day. She didn't make me miserable. I was just miserable. And it's, you know what? There's a Bible study you ought to check out on Wednesday nights. You'll love it. They'll only want you there two nights, but you ought to try it anyway. So finally, I did it. And I called her because there's something about us men. We're so defiant about not doing something that our wife wants us to do. And we're, you know, we got to put our foot down. I'm not doing it. But then we do it. And then here's what we have to do. Because, you know, most of you wives, when you do what you should do and it's the right thing, you don't have to have a trumpet sounding and there to be a grand announcement that you did what you should have done. Because, you know. So I called her. I said, hey, I just want you to know I did that. She goes, well, good, because I've just prayed all day that you would. You know why? Because if it had been 10 years ago, 12, 13 years ago, she'd have just called me all day demanding that I do it. You know, we didn't have texting back then, I don't think, you know, or she'd be texting. But she got to this place of marriage where she just prayed. I know that's what he's supposed to do. And I'm just going to pray that God puts it on his heart, right? She just reached that place. I don't know when I'll reach it, but that's the difference between joy and happiness. I mean, those difficult things that you've been through, whatever they are, they cause you to cling to Jesus like you've never clinged to him before. Because when everything's grand and everything's good, I mean, that's when we get a little confidence and we can kind of maybe step away just a little bit from Jesus, you know, because we're doing good, life's good. But when those difficult times come, we cling to him like we never have before. The Jews celebrate Purim because they remember what God did. And it was a difficult time. It's not a time they would have ever wanted to go back to. But they celebrate in remembrance because all the sorrow from that time, they were promised that that sorrow would turn to joy. But to have that joy, they had to go through the difficult time. And that joy is manifested in a relationship with Jesus, you know, like we didn't have before the difficult time. Because during that time, we had to cling to him with all that was in us. And we had to trust him because in marriage or whatever the situation is, you reach those points where you come to understand this is out of my hands. I can't control this. I can't manipulate it. I can't force this. And I'm just going to have to trust God. The Jews, I mean, they had been in that predicament several times where somebody wanted to kill them and there was mass persecution. And through those times, they just learned this trusting God and this dependency upon him, that they could believe the words while suffering, they could believe the words that their sorrow would be turned to joy. And they believed that would happen. And what comes out of it is this amazing thing. I'm going to read another passage to you in the Gospel of John. There's a conversation, chapter 16, verse 17. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father. They kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. I mean, Jesus is talking about the crucifixion, the resurrection. And he's telling them, you know, in a little while, you'll see me no more. And then in a little while, you will see me. And he wants them to know that when he dies, the world will be rejoicing, right? And maybe, you know, that's a harbinger to the masses screaming Barabbas when they were offered a choice of who to let go, Jesus or Barabbas. And the crowd cries out, Barabbas. And they rejoiced in the death of Jesus. And Jesus is telling the disciples, I want you to know, while the whole world is rejoicing, you will be weeping. You will be grieving. He wants them to know that. He's telling them, don't be discouraged that the world is happy about what you are sad. Don't get discouraged with that. Just know this. All the crying, all the weeping, all the mourning, all the grieving, it will turn to joy. And it's this incredible promise that Jesus gives them. And then Jesus gives this example. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. That is such a powerful thing for us to hear, right? I mean, most of us, I think, understand this childbirth analogy. Some, you've heard stories of it. Some, you've had children, and you remember that moment in the delivery room. Guys, when you're called every name in the book because this thing that has happened was your fault, right? And it's this horrible time. And it's, you know, all of this, and here's this woman in complete agony. At times, you're sure she's lost her mind. She'll never be the same. It's, you know, and then the baby comes. It's just completely different. And even in the midst of everything she's just been through, there is this incredible joy. It's there. And Jesus said, that's what this is like. And then Jesus says this, and I think, you know, this is the most powerful part. He says, and the joy that you receive, no one can take it away. No one can take it away. Has it felt like at times that somebody has taken your joy? Has it felt that way? Oh, yes, it has. But what do you find after some time passes? That joy was always there. Just powerful thing. And it's a joy that we can only have from the Lord. So, I mean, right there's two scriptures that talk about joy, and it's associated with pain. You know, in Nehemiah, David quoted the verse in the video, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, that right there tells you that if joy is strength, it's because you need joy, which means you need strength because you're going to go through difficult things. You're going to go through hard times. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. I love the passage in Nehemiah. I mean, as you're reading this passage, you know, the prophet, he's reading from the book of the law, and he's going through the entire law. So you can imagine it's, you know, like 458, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, on and on and on. And the day started off as a celebration, as a prophet read, you know, thou shalt not kill. And everybody's, most of them are like, all right, I'm good on that one. All right. You know, and some of the people were like, ugh. I blew it. And then he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And there were still some people who were like, oh, yes, okay. Two for two. It's good, right? And other people were like, oh, is this going to be, do you know how long, what time is this over, right? Thou shalt not steal. And then about the whole crowd was like, oh, man. He just keeps going, and every one is another one that they had broken. And you get to feel from the crowd that day that they're thinking, is this supposed to be encouraging? I've broken most of these, is how they felt. Isn't there a better sermon? Can we read from a different book? You know, I mean, you can, you know, the Bible says that when he gets done reading, everybody's crying. They're bawling their eyes out because they're guilty of everything that he had read. And then the prophet says to the people, hey, stop. This is not a day for mourning. This is not a day for weeping. This is a day of rejoicing. And then he says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And all these things you've been through, whether it's the bad choices, the wrong choices you've made, the difficult times, the relationships. I mean, how many of you stay tore up over relationships? Because, I mean, they are so difficult. And do you know this? I'll just throw this in here. You know why they're typically so difficult? Because we don't know how to communicate. We don't. We do not know how to communicate. Let me tell you three things. These are so important. So important just for communication. One is you've got to know what to say. You've got to know how to say it. And you've got to know when to say it. And most of the time, not in all cases, some people, they're just who they are, right? You know who you are. But most of the time, if those three things, I mean, if you invest some time in those three things, most of the time, relationships bring joy, they bring peace, because you've invested the time. And because it all comes down to communication. Because let me just tell you, if you don't know what to say, it doesn't matter how you say it or when you say it. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, right? But if you know what to say, and you've prayed about it, and you've put time in it, then you got to know how to say it, right? And the thing is, it just takes time to really learn that. To, you know, because, I mean, one thing is for sure, that part of the joy that God brings into our lives is through relationships. And what did I say about joy? It's almost always birthed out of travail, out of labor, out of difficult things. And so for some of you, the difficult relationship you have, it's one of the ways God wants to bring joy into your life. Because when there's a difficult person in my, anybody have a difficult person in your life? Nobody? Oh, wait, here we go. Everybody was waiting to see, right? Now, don't point. Some of you are pointing. I used to always feel like those difficult people, it was just, it's their problem. They're just jerks. They're just who they are, right? And you know what I found out? God just uses those people to reveal the character or lack of character in my own life. Because those relationships, let's be honest, they're hard work. And I don't want to work hard on relationships. Let's just all get along. Let's just let this be easy. But God puts those difficult people, those difficult circumstances, those difficult situations in our lives to produce joy. And what is so hard is that not all of us, but a lot of us, we throw in the towel before we're willing to work through those things. I'm going to tell you, looking back on all the times that I threw in the towel, you know what I've learned? I was the one that missed out in that. I was the one who missed the joy that God wanted to bring in my life through that situation, through that hardship. I want to encourage you. Because, I mean, happiness is great. Who doesn't love happiness, right? Anybody love happiness? I love happiness, right? But happiness won't get you through a difficult time. Happiness doesn't get you through a difficult situation. But joy is powerful. Because people can take your happiness real quick, can't they? They can take it quick. But Jesus tells the disciples, no one can take your joy. No one. But we've got to be willing to go through the difficult things, through the difficult times. I hope when you see those difficult things, those difficult times, those difficult people, I hope your first thought is, I'm going to walk through this. No matter how, I'm going to walk through it. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do the right thing. And I don't know about you, but for me, even though the right thing always produces the best outcome, it's always easiest to do the wrong thing. And for me, it's not so much doing the wrong thing, it's saying the wrong thing on purpose. Anybody else like that? Anybody else have the propensity to get venomous when things get difficult, right? Where you wake up thinking, I will make their life miserable today. Today, they will wish they were never born because they messed with me, right? The difficult thing. And it's going through it the right way. And it's going through it with that trust and that dependency on God. Now, as I say this, somebody somewhere sitting here tonight has to be thinking, so when does the joy come? Because he said it comes in the morning, but it's been a few mornings since all this has started and the joy hasn't come yet. And if you ask me, so what about that, Pastor Jamie? You know, what I really want to say to you is, I don't know. I don't know. I'm in the same boat. I'm just waiting. I've been praying. I've been trying to do the right thing, trying to say the right thing, and I'm waiting for the joy to come. And my hunch is that the joy won't come until I stop equating joy with their boat getting a hole in it. Lord, now I am joyful as they sink. Vindication is mine, saith Jamie, right? God says, oh, I want to bless you. I want to give you joy, real joy. But you're going to have to do the difficult thing. You're going to have to hang in there. And you're going to have to trust me. Because I'll be there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And let me promise you this. Once that joy is there and it's present, no one can take it away. Nobody can. No one can take that joy away. It's there and it's yours. And there's definitely those seasons where I'm like, I'm not sure where the joy is, but God always shows me how it was always there, how it was present. It's powerful. So tonight, what I want you to know is that joy is deep. Happiness is just on the surface. And, you know, obviously I'm not preaching against happiness. You know, some of you might feel like, well, I'm happy. I'm not preaching against happiness, but I want you to know you don't have to work for happiness. But joy comes as we go through those difficult things. As we walk through those difficult relationships, God brings joy. And I want to encourage you tonight, you know, as they sang joy to the world, that literally Jesus, he's our joy. And when Jesus says no one can take your joy away, do you know why that's true? Because no one can take Jesus away from you. He's there. He's in it, right? Like how many of you ever just wanted him to leave? Anyone? Y'all are like not sure how to answer. You're like, that would be really bad if I did. You know, I want him to leave at times because I'm so ashamed of what my life looks like. I don't want him there. If you're not sure if you've ever felt that way, let me ask this question. How many of you have ever just been in a place where you just don't want to pray? Okay, is that a nicer way to say you don't want Jesus in your life? Because I just want things to be better. That's how I am with Jesus so many times. I just want him to turn his head. I'll fix things. I'll make him better. And it never works that way. Trust me, Jesus has let me handle quite a few things in my life. And I don't know when I'll learn. I'm like, Jesus, I got this one. And if I could see Jesus, I don't know what look would be on his face, but it'd be priceless. But he's always there. He cares. Joy is a powerful, powerful thing that we have because of Jesus. And joy is a thing that we get to continue to experience as we go through these difficult times, as we walk in these difficult relationships. Don't throw in the towel. Don't do that. Because the one that gets robbed when you do that is you. Because joy comes out of that. And no one can take away your joy. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that it was the most joyous event that's ever happened when Jesus came. And he was born in that manger in Bethlehem. And the reason that it's so joyous is because of all the hope that it birthed and all the peace that it birthed and all the joy that it birthed, because what was impossible before that became possible afterwards, right? Because the Messiah has come, Emmanuel, God with us. And all the promises that God made in the Bible, they are yes in Jesus. And I would encourage you tonight, I would want you to know that he truly is the Savior of the world, that he died, his blood was shed so that our sin could be forgiven. And not only is he able to forgive sin, the Bible teaches us that he's willing to forgive it. He can totally do it, and he's willing to. And it's believing that Jesus really is the Son of God, that he really died on the cross, that he rose again 3 days later, and that I'm in need of my sins being forgiven. And it's crying out to him and inviting him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin. And the Bible says he's faithful and just, and he will do that. So if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I would plead with you tonight to cry out to him. Ask him to save you. He will do that. If you're here tonight and you know you're saved, but you've never been baptized, Christmas Eve is just going to be a powerful day. We've got three services, 12, 2, and 6, and we're going to have baptisms all day long during those services. And I want to invite you to come to this altar tonight and say, hey, you know what? I need to be baptized. We would love to talk with you more about that. And maybe some of the other things that God has shared with us tonight. You know, those difficult times, those difficult relationships, maybe you can identify with me when I say, I just don't always walk through those things faithfully. And just come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to walk through this faithfully. Help me to walk through this in a way that honors you. God, I don't want to settle for happiness, but I want joy. I'd invite you to come to the altar tonight. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you that you are our joy. And Father, I pray that as Father, you bring those situations into our lives that are difficult, those people that are difficult. God, I pray that that we wouldn't throw in the towel, that we would walk faithfully, and we would realize your words are true, and the joy you give us, no one can take away. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. This altar is open. I want to invite you to come, so come now.